good. Can you pin on their thing? I mean, can
you pin? Now, how many children did you tell me there were in your family?
12.
How many boys and how many girls?
6 boys, 6 girls.
How many of those lived into their 70s and 80s?
Four of the 6 mentioned, 7 mentioned, there were, who have passed away, were all, I would say, past 70.
Did anybody have an early death?
Well, one of the baby sisters is about a year old,
mm-hmm.
and the twin brother of my oldest brother, who died, lived only about 6 months.
And what is your place in the family? What's the order? 3rd, 4th?
No, I am number 7.
How many are still surviving?
Five.
And how old are they?
The oldest, I would say, is 85. The youngest, 72.
Okay. To what age did your parents live?
My father passed away at 81, and my mother, 88.
It's good genes.
Mm-hmm.
For that day, and it's mm-hmm. wonderful. All right, and you came from an Orthodox home, you told me.
That's correct.
And how would you describe the finances of your family?
I would say that they were well off. Father retired at the age of 55.
You didn't take after him?
No. He worked harder.
And were you strictly disciplined in growing up?
No. Other than that, we knew that Father was boss.
What about the culture of your home? Were parents interested in music or art? Were they readers?
I wouldn't say they were readers. My father was public-minded in civic affairs.
Uh-huh.
Mother was just housekeeper and homekeeper.
Were they immigrants?
Yes.
Both of them.
My father came here at the age of 13 in 1878.
Uh-huh.
My mother was approximately the same age, but came over about 1875.
You went to law school. Were the others in your family college educated?
Other than my youngest brother, who went to Penn State and later transferred to Ohio State. No others went to college.
Just the two of you.
That's right.
Were you the best students? Is that why you went to college?
No, I think it was just at a time when it was propitious to an era when people started, children going away to college.
Mm-hmm.
Not having to go to work when I graduated.
You were 7th. Were there girls after you then?
There was three girls born after I was born.
And at that time, of course, girls didn't...
Well, my sister graduated, one sister graduated from St. Xavier's Academy up at Beatty, PA, near Latrobe.
She went away to school?
Convent school.
High school?
Convent school, yes.
That was unusual.
Mm-hmm. The reason for that was that my father and mother didn't think it was nice or proper to have a young girl living in the hotel with the family, uh-huh. which was required as a matter of law if you had a bar connected with your hotel.
Uh-huh.
So she went to St. Xavier's.
So you more or less lived in the hotel. You grew up in a hotel.
Well, in the last, I would say, for a period of 5 years,
uh-huh.
until Prohibition came in.
He owned it.
I owned the hotel.
Okay. Now, you grew up in Connorsville.
Right.
And I think you did talk before about the difference between Connorsville and Pittsburgh in that you had lots of non-Jewish friends. That was certainly one difference. How was the culture different? Small town like that.
I didn't know of any, shall we call it, anti-Semitism, or we were so friendly with all our neighbors, none of whom were Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
And I recall my mother at Passover time preparing little small boxes of matzahs, which we delivered to the homes of our Christian friends.
Yeah.
My father was what we call a good mixer. Was well liked,
mm-hmm.
and I never, as I mentioned earlier, never realized what anti-Semitism was until I came to the university.
But what was the culture of Connorsville like? I mean, certainly today they don't.
Well, it was a.
Did you have
many ethnic
plays come to Connorsville?
Oh yes, we had theater, both vaudeville theater, and we had one night stands of everything, including Jane Cowell, COWL,
uh-huh.
and Within the Law. I recall seeing the show. We had an opera, one place called the Opera House, because
in Connorsville.
Yes. And we had a second opera house later on, and they had some very fine, what shall we call it, exclusive city clubs, where all the silverware was named like the Colonial Club.
Was Connorsville must have been a wealthy community.
It was at one time a wealthy community because of the coal and coke we had. H.C. Frick.
Lived there? No.
Well, no, he lived. He was a member of the Masonic Lodge in Connorsville.
Mm-hmm.
He lived only a few miles away. He was born and raised at West Overton, which is outside of Scottsdale, which is only 6 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
We had some very fine families. The Reed family, whose uncle was the famous famous United States Senator from Montana, Mr. Clark, who was the Copper King, but the Reed family were boys of an Israel, were educated at Yale, and during the First World War were flyers in the Royal Canadian the Air Force. It was, they had a very, very fine social line in Connorsville. There was distinction.
So then there was a culture there.
Oh yes, definitely so. We had the, you know, in the summertime we had the Chautauqua shows under the big tent and all that sort
uh-huh.
of thing, and we had one of the early Carnegie Free Libraries. I think I read every book in the library.
What were the politics?
The politics in our day was strictly Republican. There was rarely only if it was required a minority commissioner, like a county commissioner, would be from the Democratic Party. It was difficult to find a candidate. As a matter of fact, my youngest brother, who lives in Atlantic City, is named after at one time state senator, later on United States Senator, William Eli Crow, William E. Crow. And my brother's name is William Eli Goodman.
Is that right?
He was the godfather.
The Republican senator.
Yeah, that's right. He was also chairman of the Appropriation Committee and...
United States Senator?
Later on, U.S. United States Senator for a brief time. After being the state senator for a number of years, he was an attorney in Uniontown, had been a reporter in Collinsville, was a very close friend of my father's.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, he helped me a senatorial scholarship at the University of Pittsburgh, which was honored by Chancellor McCormick.
So this was the man of God for you?
Yes. My father was a personal friend of United States Senator
Crow, was his name?
Crow, and his senior senator was United States Senator Penrose, the famous Boies Penrose.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. What was his first name again?
B-O-I-E-S.
No, it was the Crow's first name.
William Eli Crow.
Uh-huh. All right. Now, then when you came to Pittsburgh, did you find your friends Republicans? Or is that...
Well, I would say from when I came to Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh was all Republican, and it wasn't until 1933 with the election of Roosevelt that it was a change.
When did you start to college? What year?
1916.
Mm-hmm. So. All right. Now, your friends, then, you told me, were largely Gentile.
In Connellsville.
And did you become friendly with any particular teacher? Was any particular teacher an influence on you that you recall?
There was Miss Gilmore, who lived across the street from our home on Good Residential District, Fairview Avenue.
Uh-huh.
And we were in and out of her home quite a bit. And each Friday there were four, let's say, eighth grades in Connellsville, and on every Friday there was a spelling contest, and she presided at that and got to know me quite well because...
You were a good speller.
I was usually the winner.
Uh-huh.
But I was a member of the YMCA in Connellsville. It was acceptable. We swam there. We played basketball there. I was a scrub on the football team.
Is that right?
Yeah. Bear in mind, I was almost as tall as I am now and weighed about 120 pounds.
You played basketball.
I did play basketball for the YMCA in Collinsville.
Hmm. Did you have a favorite subject besides spelling?
History, which I majored in later at the University of Pittsburgh, and had my major at the end of my second year in college.
Uh-huh.
Had completed my major. As a matter of fact, I was asked by the professor to stay on and teach. But I was interested in going to law school, and didn't accept the offer.
Now, tell me about the discipline when you were growing up in the schoolroom.
The discipline was, I would say, strict, but not as you would severe. Personally, I had never had any trouble. Some of my brothers did, but I was pretty even tempered, I guess.
Okay. Now, during your adolescent years, well, you've already said that you were active in sports. You played football and basketball. Anything else?
Well, that was the principal sports in this small town.
Uh-huh.
Some baseball. I also played baseball on an all-city team. I was a second baseman, which was sponsored by a black gentleman who worked in this tin plate mill in Connorsville.
Mm-hmm.
And made
by a black person. That's unusual in that
day and age. Yes, it was. He only died a couple of years ago and was beloved in the town. He outfitted us and
must have had money.
Well, he made good money as a roller in a tin plate mill, maybe $50 a day in those days. I'm going back close to 65 years ago, and he would take us all to the theater and ask how much for the whole crowd and buy the tickets for us and see the shows.
Did you do anything else for recreation?
No, the small town, you know, in the wintertime we sled riding, and in the summertime you were playing baseball, fall you were football.
Mm-hmm.
We only had one swimming pool in the town. That was in the YMCA, and it's rather difficult to get into that.
There. All right, now, we talked about your first marriage. How did you meet your wife? I'm not sure that you told me about that.
There was a club on Beacon Street, known as the Beacon Club,
mm-hmm.
which was
a social club?
A social club similar to the Concordia Club. And my father was an early member. It was in the former home of Morse Kaufman of the well-known Kaufman department store family.
And it was an eating club?
Oh, yes. And there was dances there and the like, and at one of the affairs I was introduced to Pearl Cohn.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the beginning of our romance.
How long did you go together?
About 2 years. 2 to 3 years, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
I invited her to, I guess it was in the winter of 24, to the Pi Lambda Phi National Convention being held in Pittsburgh.
That was exciting.
I was a former
Pi Lambda Phi, you
said. Yeah, Pi Lambda Phi, a former Rex of the fraternity.
What kind of a wedding did you have?
A wedding at the Tree of Life. Just the immediate families and a few friends. And then a small dinner. And then we went to New York and sailed for Europe.
Oh, my.
1927. It was the year of the... Bear in mind that we got in the First World War in 1917.
Uh-huh.
This was 1927, 10 years later, and the American Legion decided to have their national convention in Paris.
I see.
And we signed up rather late, and we couldn't get on the ship assigned to Pennsylvania. We got on the Oklahoma ship, and all these Indians, squaws with their American husbands, and Indian with their American wives, whose morals were not beyond question, and it was quite a trip. Only a few Pittsburghers was on this boat, and lo and behold, when we got to Paris, we were one of two couples who stayed at the Ritz Hotel. How we were assigned to that hotel, we never did find out.
That was quite a honeymoon for those days.
And as a matter of fact, my father-in-law, who he was already a widower, gave us the option of a large wedding or a trip to Europe. We said, we'll take the trip to Europe.
Oh, how smart you were.
And but then in those days, the franc in Paris was 26 for a dollar. And bearing in mind that my father-in-law, who was the head of Kaufman's shoe departments, went to Europe twice a year for the store.
So it was, yeah.
He was very friendly with their buying office, the Roditis in Paris, and they assigned an English-speaking guide to us. And from there, from Paris, we went to Nice, the famous Negresco Hotel, and then back to Paris, and then sailed home. We got about 5 weeks.
That was nice. And I understood you to say that you met Ellie. Somebody introduced you, or was a blind date?
To Ellie? No, I was out at the country club, at the old Westmoreland Country Club, and she was there with a mutual friend of mine, and I was introduced to her, and I was then a widower, and I called her for a date.
And how long did you go with her?
Well, we met in April, got married in September.
Don't wait as long that time.
It was in 1948, 2 years after my wife, first wife had passed away. Betty Ann, my daughter, was at that time a junior at Wellesley.
Okay. Now, in your adult life then, you've already told me that you became a Reformed Jew.
Yes. Not for any particular religious reason, but just fell into
philosophy.
It. Yes.
And you joined Rite of Sholem. And did you had a hobby of golf, I know that.
Yes.
Were there any other hobbies that you had?
I played a lot of bridge.
They go together, don't they?
Yes. First fellows I played with were well out of my class, better than I.
Lawyers make the best bridge players, they say, better than accountants.
Well, in our game, there were such fellows as Ivan Half, who was the first life master in Pittsburgh.
I know.
And Eli Rich, who was also, he and his wife were both crack bridge players. She since passed away, he remarried. Living in St. Petersburg now, in Florida. I was active in the men's club of the temple for some few years, and then became a member of the Rotary Club, and My activities were directed towards the Bar Association.
Now, what about your family vacations while Betty Ann was growing up? Where did you go?
Well, usually to Atlantic City, where my parents had moved in 1928. After they passed away, mostly trips to the Europe, the Orient, California.
Did Betty Ann go on any of these, or just you and
me? No, we just...
Your wife was ill. How could she travel?
No, I'm talking about after my second marriage. My wife was...
Oh, but with the first marriage, you just went to Atlantic City.
That's right. She wasn't able to, although we would go to New York for a week every December to see the shows and see the Christmas windows in the departments, in the stores. Oh, we spent one summer up on the lake.
What lake?
Oh. Couple hundred miles, Mackinac Island.
Oh, yes. Was that your first marriage?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, now, here's a question here, which I don't quite understand. It says, neighborhood, then and now, economic, culturally, politically. Well, now, we've already contrasted Connorsville.
Well, in Pittsburgh, my first home was on Beacon Street, which...
It hasn't changed too much.
No, which extends from Shenley Park to past Shady Avenue. Mm-hmm. First home was at 5807 Beacon Street. Then 5560 Beacon Street, and then 6413 Beacon Street.
Is that funny?
Isn't that funny? 6413 is above Shady Avenue.
Uh-huh.
5560 is two doors from Whiteman Street on Beacon Street.
What? When did this distinction start, north of Forbes and south of Forbes?
It was already talked about when I first moved to, when my family first moved to Squirrel Hill. And the north of Forbes was the crossroads, we'll call it.
Well, did you always live north of Forbes in these?
No, I lived, Beacon Street was not north of Forbes, it was south of Forbes.
That's right.
It was Darlington Road, Bartlett Street, Beacon Street, and then we went down the hill on Murray Avenue. But Beacon Street was the last of the, it was the widest street in Squirrel Hill.
Yes, it's still a very lovely street.
And we had some lovely families living there. For example, off the record, we say Jane Epstein lived on with her uncle. The Kaufmans lived on Beacon Street near the park. On top of Beacon Street was the May Drug Company family.
Very wealthy family.
And the Spears, the Spear Furniture, and the Strasburgers.
My goodness.
Oh, yes. And some very fine Christian families. Earl Reed, the well-known lawyer of Thorpe Reed and Armstrong, live across the street from us.
Well, now, was your first home with your father-in-law on Beacon Street?
No, my first home was with my parents at 5807, which to now is a synagogue.
Uh-huh.
It's a very large home. It was before the Beacon Pharmacy was built. That was a vacant lot. We were the first house on Beacon Street.
But when you lived with your father-in-law, where did you live?
First was on 5560 Beacon Street.
Oh, was Beacon Street too?
Yes. That's where I moved in with him.
Uh-huh.
And then we lived together on 6413 Beacon Street, above Shady Avenue.
And then you got by yourself.
And then... After I remarried, I moved to where Betty Ann's home was. She took over our home.
Oh, yes, I see that.
Valmont.
So, are you today a Republican?
I am a registered Democrat, but strictly independent in my thinking and voting.
When did you change allegiance? You were a Republican when you were growing up.
Yes, and it was after I was practicing law and the members of the federal judiciary in Pittsburgh changed from Republicans to Democrats, and it was...
About Roosevelt's time?
Yeah, it was a little bit later than in the early 40s, I would say.
Did you vote for Roosevelt?
No. I was a Republican in those days.
And what about most of your friends in the Roosevelt era? Did they vote for...
Well, there was a gradual change over, we'll say, around 1935, 1933, 1935, mm-hmm. because there was a lot of, when the Democrats took over, there was a lot of jobs for lawyers, and a lot of them changed their registration to obtain jobs. Quite a few Pittsburgh Jewish lawyers moved to Harrisburg, where they got